Strive for improvement. Time for the blueprint. Minds to elevate, thrive, and demonstrate. Planting a movement. Sow the seeds, educate the flourish. Building up the team, our network of purpose. Industry is green, we've only scratched the surface. Know this calling is deep, nobody gonna outwork us. Yeah, we chasing greatness, trying to give the code. Moving up with patience, foundation stone. Doing what it takes, we're here to break the mold. This for anyone who wanna level up. Let's grow.
Eddie, they're not ready for the new anthem for the green industry, baby. Hit them with it again. Hit them with it again.
Strive for improvement. Time for the blueprint. Minds to elevate, thrive, and demonstrate. Planting a movement. Sow the seeds, educate the flourish. Building up the team, our network of purpose. Industry is green, we've only scratched the surface. Know this calling is deep, nobody gonna outwork us. Yeah, we chasing greatness, trying to give the code. Moving up with patience, foundation stone. Doing what it takes, we're here to break the mold. This for anyone who wanna level up. Let's grow.
Oh my gosh. Guys, this is the new anthem for the green industry. We're just going to be confident and say it like that. Our boy Improve Music came in clutch and did an anthem for the green industry. If you don't know who he is, jump on iTunes, Spotify, and check him out. Mick, that's his real name. Mick, you killed it, brother. Thank you for bringing fire and just elevating what we do to give back to the community. Guys, this anthem is for us. Not for us here, the Plenum, is for us, meaning the green industry. So let's go, guys. This play it back, listen to it, listen to the words. They are powerful, and that's exactly what the green industry is. We're all powerful. So let's get right to it. If you guys want to listen to it again, like I said, just play it back. Today's episode is a powerful one, guys. I want you to think something real quick. Think of something. You are born into second-generation wealth. Top 20 garden centers for revenue in the entire country of the United States. Three powerful locations set up like Home Depots with everything that you can imagine. And then taking it amongst yourself to not sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. But let's innovate, let's create, let's make things better. So that to me is something in itself that's very powerful. Because you don't have to do that. But someone is inspired enough to do that. When someone is inspired enough to do that, that to me is so powerful. And just giving back, looking for purpose, looking to grow and looking to make things better. Today we interview one of the owners, Rich. They created a platform to go up against Amazon and Etsy to be able to ship plants for vendors to jump on, anybody, plant enthusiasts, and sell product. And then also for the public, the retail side, to purchase the product. It's called Ship My Plants. We're interviewing Rich. Guys, this is a powerful episode. Let's get right in. What is up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Plant Movement Podcast. Today, guys, we have a special guest all the way from Chi-Town, from Chicago. We have Rich. He's representing two companies today. I'm excited because one, he's the second generation owner of a large retail, wholesale, re-wholesale, e-commerce garden center in Chicago with two locations, but they also started something that is an Amazon for plants. Rich, I am excited to talk to you, and I want just everyone listening, guys, tune in, because this episode, we're going to be touching a lot of different topics. This guy sitting here that you see on the screen, Mr. Rich, he moves a lot of volume. They do a lot of things. They have a lot going on. So, Rich, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day when spring's about to start to come and make this happen and make it possible to give back. So, thank you, Rich.
Well, right back at you, and thank you, Willie, and I would love to have some of that energy transferred over, so hopefully we can absorb some of that. And it's awesome to be on the Plant Movement Podcast. Been following you guys for a while now, and I'm really honored, really excited to have this conversation, and so I'm ready to rock. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. You guys, aside from what is already existing, you guys, I'm sure, have made that better, but you've also taken it amongst yourself to start a whole new thing that, for you guys listening, if you grow any type of plants, if you're a broker, this guy has something for you. And also, if you're a consumer of products, something for you as well. Something he's created with a team to be able to do something for everyone in the industry. And I love that. Innovation at its finest is what we're going to get into today. But let's start, man. So talk to me about just the whole garden center thing, what you guys do, what you guys grow, and how many people you have working there. We could jump in, start with that.
Yeah, so I am a second generation owner of a company called Alsip Home and Nursery. We are in the Chicagoland market. We're annually ranked within the top 20 in sales in North America in terms of independent garden centers. We have three retail locations. Two are year-round, and one is a what we call our grower outlet store that is only open for a little over half the year. And we are vertically integrated. We do a lot of different things. We grow our own bedding plants, annuals, vegetable starts, hanging baskets, combo planters. And in the summertime, we start planting our mums. We also grow our own perennials, and we grow our own woody shrubs and evergreen shrubs as well. So we're very vertically integrated. We have a landscape supply division that's big into Unilock pavers. And we also carry some other brands like Teco Block and High Format. And we do a lot of the supply of just landscape materials in general, accessories, straw blankets, paver glue, landscape lighting, you name it. And that's its own kind of separate business, but it's all kind of ties together. And then we're big into, you know, the houseplant business as well. So we're trucking product up from Florida. I would say that, you know, in our market, we're the biggest garden center in the Chicagoland market. We do the most sales volume out of all the other places. And we're, I would say, the most comprehensive garden center business, as, you know, we're the ones that pretty much everything, A to Z, Alyssum to Zinnia, you know, all the different accessories that a customer needs, not just from a retail cash and carry standpoint, but also to the pros, the contractor side of things. We're high end. We try to think that we don't compete necessarily with the boxes. We like to say we have a different clientele, different customer. And just over the years, we've really diversified. I'm a second generation owner with my brother, Dave. He and I took over for our father officially in 2012. We've both been in the business for over two decades. And through having multiple locations, multiple family members involved in the business, revenue diversification, building a great team, we've been able to continually grow, pardon the pun, our business. And it's just a bunch of people with a lot of passion. And, you know, I know, Willie, you're going to ask me a lot of questions about some of these other things. But in a nutshell, you know, it took over. My dad really built the business to get it to a certain size. And I'm very grateful to have been able to grow up around that, have that kind of training, and somebody that, you know, he's 78 years old now, and this is like his 65th spring in the business. Wow. So, you know, having that kind of knowledge and experience and wisdom around you at all times, it just, you just absorb this, you know, you become this person that knows how to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's what we talk about at Thanksgiving and, you know, the kids' birthday parties where, you know, hey, the, you know, those plugs came in a little small. I mean, yeah. It's just, we really eat, sleep, and breathe this this business.
Oh, you have to, man. No, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I do have 100 questions for you. How many people work with you guys?
So at our peak, we have about 250 employees. So it's not as big as you'd think. You know, I hear a lot of people are like, oh, you must have 500. And we make it work. We do a lot with automation, but it's about 250 at peak.
You heard that, guys. A lot with automation. So 250 people at peak, and how let's say, how much land do you guys cultivate on?
So in our production, we have about 40 acres of growing. It's not, you know, it's not some huge, but it's mostly for our own use. And then we have a 17-acre garden center in Northwest Indiana. Okay. And our store in Frankfort, Illinois is an 11-acre garden center. And both of those are completely landlocked and completely fully being used to, you know, every square inch possible.
No, and I went on you guys' social media pages. That guy's for you guys that want to go there. The link's down below. You can check them out. Wow. That's all I got to say is wow. The building, the structures, the products, the pallets, you guys have a lot of stuff going on. And then what I love about you guys, there's a lot of things I love about this, but one being that you have integrated so much. So I preach to the garden centers that it's not about just having plants. You know, it's about standing out, and it's about really servicing your customer full circle. And the more that you can offer, the more products you can offer, the better services you can offer, the more opportunities you're going to have. Mm-hmm. And you guys are hitting that on the tee, every single thing you've said, just with all the products and just everything that you guys have, really does make you stand out. And that's why you are on the top 20. largest garden centers. You wrote down here that in spring, which is 8 weeks, it starts for you guys in a couple weeks, you do around $7 million just in sales for that period of 2 months. You know, guys, I'm not telling you that to put Rich on a pedestal. I'm telling you guys this because the opportunities that I always speak about in this industry on how you can grow and how you can do more and how you can give back and how you can create opportunities and all these different things, this is real in this industry. And we're sitting here talking to Mr. Rich that he's rich.
Well, some people call me other things too, and they can get away with it because of my name.
What do they call you? What do they call you, Rich?
I don't know. This is a family-friendly program, but they're just family and friends. You know, we all like to kid.
They joke around with you.
Yes, we do.
But it's powerful. And then what? The most powerful thing of everything that you said isn't $7 million, $8 million. It's not that. The most powerful thing that I get from everything that you said in the introduction is that you have a mentor that has 60 plus years in Springs. That right there, guys, a mentor, you cannot put a dollar amount on a good mentor. I'm telling you, when you guys grabbed it in 2012, was it complete how it is today? Or have you guys integrated new things and lifted things off with integration and stuff like that? Where was it, and what have you guys been able to do to kick it up more notches?
So, yeah, it was already, we were already a big garden center. He had really established things from a retail standpoint. My dad was very, in the 80s, our small town in Frankfort, Illinois, there wasn't a lot of retail around. It was an up-and-coming area, and the box stores hadn't moved in yet. And he was just one of those people that, it's kind of started in the 70s with wintertime and trying to figure out a way to bring in more revenue to kind of like have a year round business and really with the goal of being able to keep staff employed throughout the year that we really need for the spring business. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge that every independent garden center, especially in northern climates, probably can all relate to. My dad was reading in a trade magazine. My dad's name is Bill, by the way, and he's a legend.
Shout out to Bill.
Yes, absolutely. And I guarantee you right now they're planting lines, they're going. I feel guilty sitting here.
Nah, you're good, man.
And so he, was reading in a trade magazine about a garden center that was selling tropical fish. And it's just like a wintertime revenue. And so he started, hey, I'm going to sell fish for people that, have as a hobby, fish tanks and as a pet. Okay. And from there, it continually expanded into this pet department business, amongst mm-hmm. other things. So we did and rode the wave and got in and out of categories like pools and spas, billiards, pool tables, ping pong tables, pinball machines.
That was back in the day. Back in the day.
This is in the 80s and 90s. So when I was a kid working at our store in Frankfort, Illinois, growing up, we had a department where we sold paintball guns. I mean, we did all this cool, stuff.
Man, yeah, whatever made sense, whatever you guys saw as an opportunity.
Exactly. Go-karts. I mean, we actually, my first memory at this store I'm at right now in St. John, when my dad bought this place, it used to be a lumber yard, and he brought me here as a kid. And like when they first opened up, the whole front sidewalk had go-karts lined up that he had for sale. I mean, so just it was just like anything and everything. And what kind of happened throughout the years is we were starting to exit categories. I mean, it was pools and spas, it was paint and wallpaper, it was hardware, it was like pool chemicals I had mentioned, a lot of gifts, a lot of different, even like when it was back to school time, we would have a whole aisle of all the back to school supplies.
Wow.
And it was just constantly feeding off whatever the retail opportunities were. And as time went by, my dad, and I remember him having this conversation with us repeatedly, hey, we're exiting these categories because these big boxes are coming in, and we rode the wave, we got in and out. And so really in my time, and David, my brother, since we've been running it, what we've kind of done is gotten out of some categories and just made the other things that were in bigger. And we try to look at ourselves as what we call like a category killer. So for example, ceramic pottery, it, you would not believe, we just opened up 7 container loads at, nested ceramic heavy Vietnamese ceramic pottery.
Okay.
That is just, you know, a huge, huge thing for our business. And, you know, if you knew what one container load of ceramic pottery looked like, you'd be like, where do you merchandise seven of those? Now, across three locations, mind you, but it was like, go big or go home. And that's kind of how we approach it. Same thing with annuals. You know, we stack them high and watch them fly.
What's the investment on those pots? Because you're a guy I can talk to about this. So I want the listeners to listen up. What is an investment like that, that you're saying, not one container, you know what that looks like, but seven? What does an investment like that look like? Is this your first time selling that type of pot?
It's our first time selling this many, but it's okay. About $100,000 worth of retail per container.
Okay, so $100,000 per container. So you're $700,000 in on product that is not sold, okay, that you are guesstimating that it will move.
Yeah, and you know, we didn't just start with seven.
No, I get you. But I want people to understand that's an investment, guys. So we talk a lot about investment here, that you have to learn to become a fearless investor. You need to see the future and be like, okay, it's going to work out, and then live off that feeling that you had and go. All right. Absolutely. The rest, you'll make it happen. So now, Rich, if some of the stores aren't selling the pots properly, he'll tell them, hey, let's move these pots to the other store. Hey, call this guy. Let's do this. And now you start to push it. But you already made the investment. So now you got to get out of it. And you learn a lot. I just wanted to show that as something, because I know that that investment wasn't cheap. But it is a ballsy move, but you guys see an outlet to move the product.
Yeah. And we price them to mark them up, to mark them down. It's buy one, get one free.
Oh, wow.
And yeah.
Okay.
And we've learned, you know, if you picture like the power company with the big electrical lines that they, you know, install, big power lines, they come on these big wooden spools. And when those big wooden spools are, when they've used the wire off of them, they have to dispose of those. And it turns out they're the best merchandising tables for ceramic pottery.
Oh, for real?
And we, you know, as big finger quotes as we really are, you know, we you know, you have to run your business frugally at all times, no matter what, you know, you have to be smart about your investment and everything. So we were able to find all these tables for free on Facebook Marketplace. And we just, our only investment is our time and our truck and just sending our guy with the box truck and filling them up. So, and I'm looking at, like, on our camera system, I've got a TV on the wall with all the cameras, and I like a quarter of it is just filled with pots.
With the pots. No, but it's cool. You're repurposing something, and then it also brings an edge. It looks different, you know, especially decorated with pots. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm picturing what it would look like. And it's something very different that you don't see.
I'll provide you with some photos so he can edit it in post. Because
send them.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah, so that's crazy. So talk to us right now. So right now you're getting into spring. Spring hasn't kicked off. It's still cold up there, right?
It's still cold, but this is the mildest winter. I'm about to turn 42, and I've been doing this my whole life, and it's definitely the mildest winter I've experienced. And so we're selling like paver patio jobs. Trees are going out. It's been pretty crazy. Now it's still very tame compared to what happens in April and May.
April, May is the home run derbies. Yeah. Home run derby time.
May is 25% of our year on a typical year.
Okay. May is 25% of sales. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then also, before we skip this, you also have a pet grooming department. Aside from selling these products and having the services, I would like to get into what services you guys offer. But the pet department, how did that happen? Is that something that lingered from all of the other things that you guys were doing? It stuck around?
Yeah, it stuck around. It grew and grew. And, you know, dog food. So, you know, pet owners. And actually, if you look at the statistics, most plant people are also pet people.
Yes.
So there was a really great, you know, symbiotic relationship there. And, you know, the nice thing about a pet owner from a business owner standpoint is you have to keep feeding that dog to keep it alive. Feeding that cat or, you know, whatever. So it's about once a month you have to come in and buy your dog food. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that, we started branching out into services. You know, we sell the whole, I mean, you walk into like a national brand, like It's just PetSmart. I'll throw it out there. We have everything that they've got. We created an entire department. It's a full thing. Now with the grooming, it's not just the grooming. It's the, what we do is the nail trims for dogs. So it's kind of that, like, it's almost like the fast food service version of the full on grooming. And we do the both. We do, I mean, we have full dog grooming, and it's, last year was over $1 million. Was the first time we ever. Yeah, it was actually our goal in 2023 was to do $1 million in dog
grooming. Is that just the grooming itself, or that's integrating dog food as well and stuff
that's
like that?
Just the grooming service.
Just grooming.
Just that's grooming, awesome. Yeah. We do about another $1 million a year in dog food sales.
Wow.
But, you know, what's really neat is the nail trim. So it's this walk-in traffic. We use a Dremel that's got this grinder tool on it. And it, and we actually have staff. And believe it or not, you would, so just here at this location where I'm at in St. John, Indiana, we do average, and this is separate from the regular dog grooming, 35 dog nail trims a day.
Oh my gosh, for real?
Yeah, that's the average. And we charge, I want to say it's like $9 a nail trim. So it's not a big, you know, but people, we have really built up a clientele.
No, and you have return walk-in customers that they get this and then they see that and they buy that and rich. Yeah. It's crazy. Like it's a monopoly in a standpoint.
With all
the things that you're telling me about the dog food, I know the dog trimming and stuff like that's all local. How do you guys stand out and compete with the big box stores with people that are in your neighborhood or in your town that can just go 1, 2, 3 online? Do you guys have anything set up like that to compete with that market?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, when Chewy.com came around, it was noticeable. Like that online business really made a noticeable difference in our dog food. And we realized it pretty quickly. So we got onto some of our own things. We created our own subscription service. We called it the Chew Crew. And with mild success, I'll be honest with you, not everything we do is a grand slam home run.
You're testing the waters.
But we went to, so we've got a preferred customer, a loyalty program. And I think anybody that's in the garden center business should have a loyalty program. It is one of the ways. It's in the word loyalty.
You know, loyalty programs. Guys, listen, take notes.
Exactly. And so, you know, because consumers' attention is being stretched and pulled from 50 different directions at any given day. You know, you open your phone, and since you just heard us talking about dog food, you're guaranteed you're going to get like an ad from, you know, 10 different
dog food. Yep.
Exactly. So the loyalty program, what we did is we made it so that it was you get a discount on your dog food for being a member of the loyalty program. And that really helped us kind of stave off our losses. And plus it gets them in the store, that the nail trim service. And I was going to mention, 2 Sundays ago, we had a record day for nail trims. We had 78 nail trims in one day.
That's crazy. That's a lot of, just think about, guys, I want you to think about this. Listen to what Rich is talking about. One location, 76 dog trims, nails, which sounds like, oh, who cares, Willie? That is 76 people that are walking into his establishment for one thing. They offer thousands of things. You need to go on their website. You need to go on their social media pages. So the opportunities that they have created to bring in clients, and then not just for the one thing that they were looking for, it is for an array of things that they can end up wanting or buying or needing. It creates nothing but opportunities. And if you guys have a garden center, you're thinking about starting one, listen to what Rich is talking about. This is he's giving you knowledge without really giving you knowledge. I'm trying to extract it and show you guys, because that's what I see.
Well, thanks, Willie. And you know, I appreciate you seeing that too, because it's like, you know, it's nice to be acknowledged sometimes. And you know, the best thing you can do, the most confident or, you know, thing that you can do is try to like pass your knowledge on to other people. You know, I feel like even my local competitors, you know, and I apologize sincerely for missing our, we were supposed to do this last week, and I was actually having coffee with my guy who owns the next biggest garden center down the street from me. And it was funny. I ended up giving him a connection that's going to help him make his water quality better at his garden center.
That's good.
It kind of maybe hurts me a little, but in the long run, at the end of the day, you know, first of all, we're all here on this earth for one go around, and I just feel like helping people is the way to go. So,
look, I have something. Where's my phone? Eddie, can I get my phone real quick? Real quick. And I want you guys to hear this too. All right, guys. So this is what it says. I found this on Instagram. It says a candle will lose nothing by lighting another candle. Encourage. This is a Bible verse. Encourage and comfort one another and build each other up. So if you think about it, this is the picture for you guys that are watching this on YouTube. If you think about it, a candle doesn't lose nothing by lighting another candle. That same candle that lit the other one will still stay turned on. You just gave me someone that fire. And that, my friend, it goes a lot further than you think. Because when you help out, one thing I've realized is no one helps out, right? That's not the trend. So when you help someone out, you already stand out in a bigger way. And at the end of the day, you guys are the goats of Chicago when it comes to what you guys do. And what is that going to hurt you by making this guy's quality of water better? It could actually even benefit you down the road by, if you're running out of something, he might have it, you bring it in from down the street, and it happened. And you were able to help him out, help your client, and get things done. So I look at it in as a good move, Rich.
Yeah, and that's, you know, one of the beautiful things about this industry is I feel like most people kind of think that way and feel that way, and you get a lot of that. And, you know, and I was mentioning my dad earlier, and, you know, the advice that he gives, and you're talking about having a mentor around, and he was always telling me in my younger days to read the trade magazines. You can learn from other people. You can learn from other people. Read the trade magazines. And now it's kind of cool because, you know, even at 78, he still stays way up on technology. Now he says, you need to be listening to the plant podcasts and all these podcasts. So like, it, you know, and learning from other people.
Yeah.
And
so, no, but you guys are at a point. You guys are at a point that I feel like the next move is like franchising in a way. Because what else, you know, what else is there? You know, you've touched so many things. You can continue adding possibilities and streams, and you can continue doing all of that, making it better. For me, I haven't been to your place, so I don't know. Every business, none of them are perfect, and you can always have a sharper blade. You know, you can always have more trash cans. You can always have a better looking bathroom. You can always have more staff. You can always. So that's something that goes in with your profits at the end of the year. What are you going to do with all this money to not give it away to the people that are printing money? Let's go and let's make things better. And all of that type of stuff, which is stuff that I see you guys have done. And now that we're on this topic, now let's jump into what I really wanted to talk about today, which is your new endeavor, which isn't so new. There he is. He's moving to the side, guys. Ship My Plants. Talk to me about how this dream came about. How the opportunity came about, how the eagerness and hungerness to go and start a whole new thing when you guys are already chilling. You don't have to do this. What is Ship My Plants, and why did you guys actually create it?
So this is going to be sort of a long story because I'm going to add a lot of context for you to really understand. But essentially it starts with we were selling plants on Amazon several years ago, and we still
through Ship My Plants.
Yeah, there's actually our actual Amazon store name is Ship My Plants too.
Okay, so you already had the name created and you did this during before COVID or after
COVID? Yeah, way before COVID. We I want to say 2015, 2016.
You started shipping online
on Amazon. Okay. And you know, about 2018 we launched. So there's that. We were on Amazon selling plants. We were one of the earlier ones to do it. You know, even then there was more competition than you would think, but it's in its infancy. There's a lot of opportunity in that realm. But I had some friends that lived locally that were starting a digital advertising agency, and buddy of mine, he was a marketing director working for another local business. And I knew he was trying to start his own side business doing, websites for small businesses.
Okay.
So from there, we went out one night and had some whiskey. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the night, I said, you know, if you quit your job, I will stake you. I asked him, I said, how much do you make a year? And I said, all right, if you quit your job, I will stake you for a whole year, your salary. and we'll start this business to make to small businesses as websites for small businesses. And he's like, well, you know, I've got this business partner who's already, I'm already working with. Can you stake him too? So I said, all right, sure. We did that. And so we started this business doing websites, and then it grew into digital ads. It grew into social media management. It grew into video and photography production and so forth and so on. And so we had this full on digital advertising agency that still exists right now. It's actually, and I'll give them a plug. It's True Mountain Marketing.
True Mountain Marketing. Okay.
True, TRUEMTN.com.
Okay.
And so check those guys out. They've really niched into the restaurant business. That's what they really like to make websites for. But anyhow, after a couple of years, like, they got big fast. And then I was able to get, they bought me out. I was like just the investor that launched them and everything else. But
you were their angel, my friend. You were their angel that pushed them.
Well,
pushed
you know,
them to start it.
it was mutually beneficial because, you know, everything should be, and it was. And so now, you know, they're completely, they don't, you know, they don't need a bank loan. They've got everything rolling. They've got actually passive income, which is a really, you know, you talk about, and I think we were trying to remember, like, talking about Dave Ramsey and some of these other people talking about, you know, just passive income, that they do a monthly fee for a website.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So, you know, and they really have a good price, and I still use them for my alsipnursery.com website is them. So anyhow, building this digital advertising agency, kind of realized, like, I can create my own marketing department throughout my garden center company. And so, like, we ended up doing that. We are running four brands: a website, social media, email marketing, video marketing, all of the things that we're just running in-house for our four brands. So there's alsipnursery.com, there's Alsip Nursery Landscape Supply, there's Bloom's Greenhouse Grower Outlet, which is our outlet store, and then there is shipmyplants.com. So shipmyplants,
Real quick, how much do you spend annually on all of that?
On advertising with staffing, about
everything
between $500,000 and $600,000.
Guys, listen to this. You guys that don't want to pay Plant Ant $39 a month to post your plants on there so someone can potentially click on it and buy them, listen to what some of the big boys are spending just to be able to keep their name relevant and to create more opportunities for everyone involved. I just wanted to point that out. All right, Rich.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And included in that dollar amount is our print ads, is our you know, YouTube pre-roll, basically anything through Google.
Everything. And I have one more question to finish that off, so you guys listening can hear this. Let's see what Rich has to say about this. Did you see significant more volume in sales by doing all of this that you're talking about when it comes to the advertising side of it?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go, guys. That was not staged, guys.
You have to spend the money on marketing. You can shoot yourself in the foot. It can be a self-fulfilling prophecy if you decide, hey, I want to cut out my marketing budget. Now, you have to be really smart because it's real easy to blow and waste marketing dollars. And you know, it's an expense. It should be one of your largest expenses, right behind payroll and staffing. It is not a depreciation cost, or it is not a building, it is not a piece of equipment. It comes off your bottom line. The cash comes off, all of it comes off that same year. So you really want to be really sharp in the way that you spend your marketing dollars. And as long as you've got a good plan and you follow the plan and you follow your budget, you know, we base ours off of the previous year's gross margin dollars. Okay. We take a percentage and then we develop our plan from there. Right now, we are actually, you know, skating to where the puck is going to be. I'm spending a lot more digitally to try to build up Ship My Plants. So shipmyplants.com is a multi-vendor marketplace platform. It's similar to Amazon, eBay, Etsy, even Airbnb is a multi-vendor marketplace platform. And it's a place where people who sell plants online, so this is our national brand.
This is what we were getting to, guys. We're finally here.
We're here. So shipmyplants.com, and it just launched in the summer of 2023. We're now coming into our first spring of like fully live. We had a beta launch in spring of 23, but it was very small. I didn't put any marketing behind it. And we were just working out kinks and so forth. But now we're fully operational. We've got 18 or 19 different companies selling plants on there right now. It's a place where you can list your plants for sale without having to, you know, put your whole store on there. You don't have to pay for the advertising. We do that. We bring the customers to you. So say you're a plant seller in, you know, Florida, and you want to ship your house plants to the end consumer, direct to consumer. You can list them for sale on shipmyplants.com, create your own store, and just reap the benefits of our marketing. We've got a consumer marketing campaign that's nationwide that's ongoing right now to try to raise consumer awareness. You know, the first year of building the business was trying to get sellers. It was like chicken or the egg, what comes first? And you can't have customers without sellers of plants. You can't have sellers with plants without customers. So we've kind of passed that phase of that growing pain to get some
started, to have product there. Yeah. And then have people actually consuming it so that people stay on the platform.
Right. And what's cool about it is it doesn't take away from your brand. You know, like say you are, you know, some garden center that wants to sell some stuff online, or you already are, it still harnesses your brand. It's your company. You create your own store on there. So it's not.
And you put your price as well. You put your own price as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I see it as, guys, anyone that is growing plants that you want to dabble into shipping online, this is another opportunity. I see this as another opportunity. You can jump on Etsy, you can jump on Amazon, you can jump on the big boys, but Ship My Plants is a company that I'm going to ask you soon what your vision is for it, but it's someone that wants to compete in the marketplace very heavily as a spot that people can go and purchase plants from plant people. People that know about plants, how to ship plants, that love plants, and all of these different things that you don't get from Etsy.com, you don't get from Amazon.com. You're getting something tailored to people that are in the industry, which makes it that much better. They understand what needs to happen, and that plants are alive, and they're not artificial, and they can't last 10 days in a box, you know, on a shelf somewhere. So it's another opportunity, and the upfront cost to someone trying to sell, is there any upfront cost?
So we actually have different seller packages available. The smallest one is $1 a year.
Wow. So come on, guys.
Pretty much say there isn't an upfront cost. I mean, you know, you can be up and selling within, honestly, you could actually have your store set up and selling within an hour.
Wow. That's
assuming you have all the stuff that you need kind of ahead of time. So what you need, it's just like if you're going to sell on another platform, is you need a tax ID number. You need a business bank account. You need to create a Stripe Express account, and Stripe is for the payment processing.
Yes.
And then you don't have to, but we highly recommend that you have a ShipStation account. And that way there, it'll help, you know, calculate all the shipping costs and print your shipping labels for you and so forth. But
wow. So someone that wants to jump into this world, that they want to get into shipping plants online and they want to try it as a hobby, they can. They just got to open up their business. That for you guys, you can open up a business for, I think it's like $150 online. And then everything that he said, tax ID, all that stuff, with less than $500, you are set up, ready to rock and roll. And you can start bringing in plants that you find for $5 somewhere. And you can start posting them on here for $15. And now you start. And you start and you learn and then you gain traction and and then you go from there. Oh man, it's cool, man. It's cool that you guys created that. And what made you guys wanna get into this world and creating a platform that competes with some of these bigger boys, already being in the place that you guys are, where there's no, you know, there's no incentive to do so to make more money. Let's say, what is the thought process behind that?
So part of it was like, I've just had this idea for a long time to make my own marketplace based on my experience selling on Amazon and how I thought that a niched marketplace would make a lot of sense. It's like you said that, you know, Amazon and Etsy, they've got all kinds of stuff, jewelry and clothing and, you know, everything. And here, this is niched for the plant industry. And I looked at, you know, hey, there's got to be professional plant shippers that really want to have like their one niche marketplace. And, you know, I listen to books. I would want to say I'm a big reader, but really I use Audible and I listen to my books. And, you know, reading The Everything Store, which is about Jeff Bezos and about the story of Amazon, and, you know, listening to that and his early goal of it, because it started as a bookstore.
Yeah, and that's what Amazon used to be. Yeah.
They wanted to be the one place that you can find any book, no matter where you're, what you're looking for. And I thought, you know, it would be really cool if there was one place that consumers knew, hey, if I can't find this plant somewhere, I know I can find it on shipmyplants.com. And that's kind of the power of the aggregation of all these different plant sellers. So the kind of the goal is to be that one place where you could find any plant and leveraging like, okay, so there's going to be a specialized carnivorous plant grower. There's going to be, and somebody actually signed up to, I can't remember what it's called, but the corpse flower.
Oh, the one that smells really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
someone signed up and he's growing those to, just like, you know, like where else do you, if I was looking for that, probably what I would do is just Google.
Yeah.
And you know, you'll find Ship My Plants through Google. And that's where a lot of our marketing dollars are being spent is towards that search engine, because that's where the world is pretty much run by.
Well, that's cool, man.
Eventually, you know, consumers are going to know, this is where I'm going to go. I'm looking for this, you know, 2 years ago, it was like a rare plant, but now they're everywhere. Like a Thai constellation monstera.
Okay.
I can go to Ship My Plants, or I'm looking for a pink.
Oh, but there's different things. Let me ask you a question. So let's say there's someone growing something very exotic like that one plant, that the carnivorous plant. Let's say that guy is going to start cultivating and he's going to do 50 of them, or he's going to do 1,000 of them. Can he put on Ship My Plants that they will be ready in March of 2025?
Yeah.
And people can buy them today and they will be shipped within 8 months or a year. Is that something that people can do?
Yeah,
that's something that can be done.
Mm-hmm. And so as the platform, so I'm like, now all of a sudden I'm like, am I the police? So I've got to look at this and say, all right, how do we keep this fair and honest for our end consumer? Because the last thing I want is for someone to sell a bunch of stuff for pre-sale and then disappear.
So
there's a seller rating system that allows the customers to go and say, yeah, these guys sent me a good plant. It's 1 through 5 stars, just like anything else you're used to. All of that. So to try to keep them honest, we also have a seller agreement. It's actually pretty loose in terms of, like, you know, we're a little more flexible than for the example of Amazon is when it comes to some of this stuff, because they don't allow pre-selling. You have to ship that product out within 48 hours of receipt of order. Otherwise, like, or if you're a Prime seller, you'll lose your Prime badge. And, you know, so they've got all these rules. And I guess at the end of the day, those things are good for the end consumer, because it's to, you know, but then there's the plant sellers are like, hey, you're forgetting that this is a live good. This is a live plant. There's temperature problems. There's pest pressure. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong here. And, you know, it may not be ready in time, you know, so we looked at that and said, all right, we can look at this from a plant seller perspective. We are plant people. We understand plant people. So our platform allows for some of that flexibility, but we do want to make sure our end consumer is protected, because at the end of the day, we want everybody to feel good about their purchases.
No, man, 100%. And what it goes back to, just catering for the niche of what Ship My Plants is, it's something for us, for growers, for people that are purchasing, the consumer. It's literally something that's been created for everyone that touches plants, and I love it, man. It's integration, innovation, new school, something fresh, and you guys have the funding to go after it, and you're doing it, and I kudos to you guys, because, you know, these are ideas, man, that people have, that you guys listening, you have great ideas, you know. This isn't one of those great ideas that is actually being put into play and being pushed. I met them. We met them, Eddie and I. We met them at the Fort Lauderdale TPIE plant show. That's where we met them. What were they doing? Pushing Ship My Plants. They weren't pushing their garden center. They were pushing Ship My Plants. So they're putting effort into it. They're really trying to make the brand, you know, nationwide, worldwide. And I feel like it's something that will catch on and should catch on hard. And then you guys are just going to perfect it and you're going to make it even better. And you're gonna have more products on there, and maybe one day you're selling fertilizers and just, you know, everything. Let's say for a consumer standpoint, bags of soil with a shovel and a little pot, you know, and then you have it all, and you can buy a package, and now you get it all, a gift package, and you can send it to your family, whatever it may be. Rich, real quick, you guys having the operation that you guys have, 250 people. Three locations in total, having all the businesses that you guys have, having media and just staff and just the whole nine. How do you guys go about structure and organization within such a large operation?
Yeah, so it's a lot of very detailed, you know, so each individual employee has a written work plan that spells out exactly what their expectation is of the position. So it starts with that. And then it goes to the leadership planning and the communication. I know a lot of organizations can have like, hey, this meeting could have been an email. So trying to find that balance within the organization where they can still get stuff done, putting a big emphasis on staff training, product knowledge training and procedural training. So we hold quarterly store meetings where we go over, you know, anything relevant into that upcoming season, you know, any policy changes, all of that. So it just comes down to having that structure. We've got, you know, store managers that general managers at each location that kind of distribute down from the upper management. And it's just like anything else, you know, from a top down organization, having a good plan and the right people in place and no confusion of what we're supposed to be doing here.
Everybody knows their position.
Yeah. Yes. And everybody knows their role. And then also we're small enough where the owners, you know, myself, my brother, we have another business partner. His name is Bob Lindstrom. He's our CFO and I've known him since I was a kid. In fact, right after this, I got a meeting with him, but he also is really good about all the things that he does. And he takes a lot of pressure off us. And so, you know, we've got the right pieces in place.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's how it works smoothly because people are always, man, how does someone deal with all that stuff? It's a lot of pressure. And it's like, oh, it's not. You delegate it. You know, you delegate it and you do what you got to do and you take over the responsibilities that you need to take over. Right. You know, and that's what I see. What do you see for the future of the consumer horticulture side of the industry? You guys are spending so much on just tech and stuff.
And unfortunately, my prediction is not the best one for the independence of the world. I see the boxes squeezing out a lot of the smaller independents. I really hope I'm wrong, but I just think the way our culture and society and the way things are going, I see us going more and more towards this big corporate, you know, kind of a thing. And so I'd like to try to do my best to try to continue to promote individuality throughout the industry, throughout, you know, small businesses. I think consumer horticulture is one of the best ways to start a business in America and to become prosperous and to be able to feed your family and have a business that you actually enjoy doing. I do worry that the future is consumers are being trained to, you know, look at the independents as overpriced and then, you know, go to like, you know, like the Walmarts and try to buy the plants on clearance and so forth. So that being said, my suggestion because of that is to differentiate yourself and be high end, be quality oriented, be knowledge and service oriented. And those are the areas that the boxes will never be able to compete. You know, you're not going to be able to compete on price. The other thing I see is in good news is and independents can actually take advantage of this is being ready for the online world. You know, so everything, we've all probably ordered food off of DoorDash. You can actually, if you're a garden center, you can actually set up a Ship My Plants store that for your local delivery. You don't have to ship plants across the country. You can actually.
You're kidding me, Rich.
No, I know. It's pretty cool. Oh, and like, no one's doing it yet, but
Oh, for real?
Well, we have somebody that's got 17 stores on the East Coast that are going to try it with three this spring. And so they're in the setup process right now.
Oh, that is awesome, Rich. I want to know how that goes. Oh,
well, dude. Yeah.
But this is all consumer, right? This is end to consumer, like a consumer.
Yep.
For the homeowner. Just like, okay.
Just like it, like if you're on, if you go on DoorDash and you'll find the restaurants that are in your area that
area.
Deliver to you.
Uh-huh.
So this all works on geolocation, and the sellers actually, when they set up their shop, they can say, we only ship to these zip codes. So say you got 30 zip codes around your garden center that you deliver on your trucks already. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. probably already got at least a dump truck, probably a box truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can use it like this. You can say, all right, I've got, you know, for some reason my buyer brought in too many Autumn Blaze maples and I want to put these on special. I'm going to list maybe do five plants that, you know, and if the customers comes across and orders and it just comes to me like an email. So when people, you know, ask me like, why would I do this? And my answer is always, do you take phone calls and set up deliveries? Because this is just that with less steps, you know.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I see that huge for garden centers. You know, mm-hmm. Someone wants to do landscaping, they can spend a couple grand and have it shipped. Like, it's not just one plant. Like, that's where my mind takes me for the garden centers that we supply and just garden centers in Florida. I see crazy opportunity there to reach a different market. And then you're also selling plants, guys, for more than what it is at your store as well. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure it'll be, you can click it up here too. So there's more opportunity there as well. That's cool, yeah. Rich, man. I love this, dude. This is so cool.
Well, thank you. I mean, I appreciate you appreciating it.
No, because you're really spending time. See, what I love is people spending time on perfecting and growing what they're trying to achieve. Okay. That to me is very, 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 you know, you can call it attractive. So, you know, you guys are really spending the time on top of all the other things that you're spending time on. You're dedicating time and putting this as a priority to really try to push this and make this something legit. And you're thinking of all different ways that your customer and the consumer can simplify just getting what they want. And that's not going to go unseen. I see it. I know not everyone might see it, but I see it. And once they start using it, it's something where it's like, why would I go anywhere else to buy the plant? I'm just going to go ship my plant. They know that I called, I had a question. They answered the phone. They're plant people. Oh my gosh. Now I follow her on Instagram, you know, and all of that stuff, you know, and it becomes more like a family, you know, it's different than if you call, you know, a 1-800 number for Amazon, you know, you're going to get somebody in another country. It's different. You know, you have that personal touch. And I feel like that's what plant people are. It's that personalized touch.
Yeah.
You know, so
well, it's definitely true. I mean, I still am making decisions on, you know, somebody got a plant that had like a black spot on the leaf and I'm still like, all right, I got to deal with this. You know, we shipped across the country.
Yeah.
That never leaves because you care about every single quality control thing.
You want to make everything, you want to make everyone's experience as great as you can. You know, that's what keeps people engaged. And like your market is different than mine. Like when you were talking right now, just about like end consumer, the way the box chain stores are and how they're very competitive with pricing and this and that, that you're thinking about the end consumer. You're thinking about the person buying one or two or three plants to put on a shelf. You know, when I think about that, I think about, you know, mass volume of landscape material.
Mm-hmm.
And field grown palms and trees and stuff like that having to be moved, and who do you sell to? You know, it's different. Like our motto, or like what we've done, is try to reach the top 1% of earners, and then we don't touch them because we don't have a service that provides anything to them. But what we do is we service the people that service them. Mm-hmm. So like that is how can we make it better for them so they can shine? And for you guys, it's how can I compete with these big box stores? It's just different. It's still the same industry, but it's different. And I'm talking about ship my plants. It's wild, man. We've gone through just so many different things. I have one last question for you. What do you see for the future of the green industry and the youth? Because that's a big thing.
So for the future of the green industry and the youth, I see a lot of opportunity for some really good jobs that are satisfying, you know, just fulfilling for people to get into this. I think plants are going to continue to be something that human beings like intuitively know that they need to be around and that they need to for happiness, for you know, obviously longevity and for
oxygen, health
and all these things. So I see a lot of different jobs in horticulture technology popping up as our industry kind of catches up to like the all other industries. Although I got to give a lot of credit to our industry because, you know, we constantly are telling everybody that this industry's way behind, but I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that we're already doing. And also the challenges are so much more unique than, you know, mass producing something that can fit into a mold.
It's different. It's a whole different world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's where, you know, I've got kids and they're coming into, I've got three teenagers and they're coming into the age where they're starting to help out around the garden center. And I'm kind of watching and, you know, listening. And my one son's talking about, you know, like plant science. And, you know, my daughter's talking about, you know, I think houseplants in my bedroom are really cool. So she's at that stage. And so at least they're interested and so forth. But I think plant science is a big future. And I think technology, you know, I don't think the independents are going away. I just fear that there's going to be less of them and you know, not as many small ones, but the opportunity is still there. And I would, if somebody wanted to start a horticulture business, even as a young age, I would say go for it and just learn and listen, read. There's no such thing as a stupid question because, you know, it's just, there's just not. I mean, you don't know what you don't know, and don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. But yeah, I see the future is like we're getting more into the tech side of things.
Yeah, I see the same thing. I love what you said. There's always opportunities in this industry. The tech side, I feel like, is the most, you know, untouched territory for this industry. Even though a lot of tech has been integrated, I feel like we're maybe 20% in to full potential of what it could be for all sectors of the green industry. You know, what just became a thing is you're mowing lawns for $50 and you put it on a credit card and it recurs. You know, that just became a thing, you know? So there's a lot of room for creativity. There's a lot of room for innovation. And for someone listening that likes tech, you don't have to love plants, but you can come in and as a visionary, and you can see and learn about the industry. And then that's when you come to play and you can really make an impact. And something so big as you don't even know what it can do, it can change the whole dynamic for a nation, for the world. And it can be something just like that, something easy for you that you thought of. And you're like, man, this is, I could do that. It's nothing. And you do it and you change, you revolutionize a whole industry and a whole world. So never, ever stop wanting to grow or learn or go after. And like Rich said, always ask a question. There's nothing, there's no such thing as a dumb question.
Mm.
And you got to want it, man. I see that drive in you, that drive in your team, wanting to just continue. And it's not for the money. It's for the passion, for the love to create,
for sure.
to leave something, you know, and let someone else pick it up later. But you guys kicked it off and started it. So man, what a great podcast, Rich.
Well, thanks, Willie. And you know, I see the same stuff in you right back at you. That the passion, the energy. I don't think you're motivated by like, if I do a little bit better, I'm going to make that much more money. That stuff just comes.
Yeah.
So
it does. I mean, it does. Yeah. The money's not. It doesn't excite me. It's cool. It's like, oh, bro, we broke a record. But that's it. That literally stays in my mind for half a second because I'm on to whatever I got to do. And, you know, it doesn't matter about that, man. It's so much more than that. It becomes more than that when you see that the fulfillment that you thought you were going to have is not there. And you're like, yeah, bro, this is not it. And you do more soul searching and you work on yourself. And then you start to plug it in and realize that, you know, it's just a tool. Money's just a tool and you need it to create. But at the end of the day, creating is what we all love to do, man. You know, create opportunities. Look at you. You're creating an opportunity for a whole industry. you know, and creating an opportunity for people to go online and buy product from people that, are real plant people. They can actually pick up the phone and call the business that is advertising. Yep. And say, hey, are you guys real? You know, hey, do you have 10 more? Can you throw them in the box for me? Whatever it may be, there's just opportunities that you guys are creating. And I don't know, I see it as a huge plus. So, Rich, we love you, brother. Thank you so much. Was there anything else you wanted to throw on the podcast?
No, I think we covered it all. And I, you know, again, I just really humbled and grateful. You know, I'm glad that we connected. You know, I want to wish you the best going forward. I love all the things that you're doing, Willie. I see it and it's kind of cool. So let's keep in touch.
100%, you know, man. You're my boy. Yeah. You're my boy in Chi-Town. So next time I go, we haven't gone, but I was talking to my wife about going. Well, with the kids, you know, downtown, whatever. How far away are you guys from downtown Chicago?
I mean, I could be downtown in 45 minutes.
Okay, so next time I go, I'm definitely going to go see you guys. Oh, man, that's going to be exciting. Check out all their stuff. The link is down below. It's all in the bio. You can check out their website, their IG pages. Check everything out. Go to Ship My Plants right now. Create an account if you ship plants. If you're looking to consume, look at what they have on there and have some fun, man. We love you, Rich. Thank you for everything. God bless you guys, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Willie. God bless you too.
Likewise. Take care. Likewise.
Strive for improvement. Time for the blueprint. Minds to elevate, thrive, and demonstrate. Planting a movement. Sow the seeds, educate the flourish. Building up the team, our network with purpose. Industry is green, we've only scratched the surface. Know this calling is deep, nobody gonna outwork us. Yeah, we chasing greatness, trying to give the code. Moving up with patience, foundation stone. Doing what it takes, we're here to break the mold. This for anyone who wanna level up. Let's grow.